This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Matt Steinglass, the European correspondent of The Economist magazine, who has explicated what the Marshall Plan was many, many decades ago. Now, the talk of the Marshall Plan for Ukraine following the fighting, when it stops, as it did in Europe in 1945, what does that mean for the challenges ahead? Matt, we come to first objection that I find in your piece, A Talk in Europe, is why? Because it's just going to be another Afghanistan, another Iraq. All the money will be stolen. What is the difference between Ukraine as we see it today and the aid that did not result in success in Afghanistan and Iraq?
I think there are two things to think about there. One is Ukraine is already a developed industrial economy with a functioning democratic government. In Afghanistan, we were trying to build a new nation in a country that had not been democratic and was basically an agrarian society. And pouring tremendous amounts of money into that society, I think the U.S. spent about $150 billion in aid there, including defense and humanitarian aid. Pouring money into that society generated a tremendous amount of corruption. A lot of the money went astray. In Ukraine, you're talking about a completely different situation. You're putting money into functioning businesses, into functioning ministries that know how to spend money, into infrastructure ministries that know how to build roads, ports, railroads, and so forth. And you've got a lot more confidence that they'll be able to rebuild the economy there. The second point is a bit more complicated, but I think also more important to get across to Americans, which is that modern Ukraine is defined by its struggle against corruption. It's a country that had a tremendous corruption problem coming out of its Soviet experience. But the revolution of 2014 in Ukraine, which established the current government, was a revolution against corruption. If you go to Ukraine today, you meet a tremendous variety of NGOs, civil society groups, anti-corruption activists, people who took part often in that 2014 revolution, who have spent the last 8 years fighting corruption, changing the judicial system so that it can prosecute corruption, building monitoring systems so they can monitor the way that money is spent. And corruption is in the forefront of their thinking. They understand that as possibly the greatest challenge to modern government. Helping those people, helping a country that is so conscious of its struggle against corruption, you're going to have a much better shot at spending large amounts of money effectively and making sure it doesn't go astray. They're conscious of what happens when you pour money into their system. They know the risks. And I think we've got a good shot at building an effectively governed democratic country there.
And there's one more detail about the Marshall Plan that's important to identify here. The word is capture, capture. In the Marshall Plan, I learned from Matt, capture was a problem in countries that had been successful, such as Britain and France. They won the war, didn't they? Capture is a problem for Ukraine as well. What does capture mean, and what does state capture mean, Matt?
So in this context, people who specialize in aid worry about capture, or in government spending worry about capture in the sense of businesses, organizations, government, or government gatekeepers getting control over flows of money and using it in ways that don't benefit the people who it's supposed to benefit. So you might think of a state bureaucracy that has a big infrastructure budget and sends all the contracts to the cousin of the minister. That's capture. Or you might think of a state that just has high political priorities, which it wants to spend its money on. That might not be the best way to develop the economy, but those are the things that it wants to do. And it diverts aid flows to spend on those sorts of things. So for example, during the Marshall Plan, the country that did the worst was Britain. It didn't grow fast after the war because it took Marshall Plan aid, spent it retiring debt that it had from the war from Lend-Lease, and then went ahead and created the National Health Service, did a lot of other spending that it wanted to do, all of which may have been important political priorities, but they were not the way that Americans thought you ought to spend that money in order to develop the economy. In Ukraine, the anxiety would be that aid flows would be captured by political players with business connections, and that money would be spent on, it would be, the contracts would go to friends of politically connected people. And that's why monitoring the way that money is spent is so important. It's why transparency is so important. And do you have a minute for me to talk about Prezoro, John? Because I think that's one of the keys here.
Go ahead.
So Ukraine, coming out of that revolution in 2014, 2015, one thing that corruption reformers in Ukraine knew they had to do was make government contracting completely transparent. And they built a digital system called Prezoro, which is a procurement monitoring system, where every contract, every bid, every tender is online and easily searchable. You can see every bid that was made. You can see every offer that went into every government contract since 2016. And you can use algorithms to compare the bids and see if something looks a little bit funny about that bid, if maybe the person who won the bid didn't have the best bid, if they had won a lot of earlier bids from the same organization, all kinds of warning signs that might indicate that there's some underwater corruption going on there. That organization, that system is then monitored by a whole range of civil society groups, journalists, anti-corruption journalists. There are 4,000 people in Ukraine running around looking at these documents all the time and trying to find examples of cheating. They turn up articles in the anti-corruption press. They turn up into court cases prosecuting people for corruption. And that kind of monitoring is what ensures that you don't get captured, that things are transparent and open, and that no one can seize control over these aid flows and use them to reinforce their political position.
If I understand correctly, right now, this is guidance from Ukraine. We're looking at not a Marshall Plan exactly. We're looking at phases of help. Phase one is underway now, keeping the budget going during the fighting. Phase two would be immediately afterwards. And then phase three would be the Marshall Plan. Do I say that correctly, Matt? Phases of aid.
That's one way that the Ukrainians describe it, yes. The aid that has to flow to Ukraine right now just to keep the place running is not really comparable to the Marshall Plan aid, because this is money that's being sent just to keep the government functioning. And every international aid institution says that is an absolute top priority. The Ukrainian government has responded very impressively during the course of this war.
3.5 to 5 billion a month. Now, I know what the Marshall Plan is. What is that phase two? We have about a minute, Matt. What is phase two? That's a mystery.
So, right. So it's going to cost $38 billion next year just to keep the government running. Phase two is urgent reconstruction, but it doesn't, the Ukrainians don't think of that exactly as a Marshall Plan, because it's more like rebuilding what was already there. They are going to need their ports rebuilt, their roads rebuilt, and so forth. Phase three, they need to convert the country to a new, more modern economy. Right. Because they want to accede to the EU. That's the Marshall Plan funding. And that's where you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars possibly flowing.
And where the money would go in the future would be to pour in the industry that is necessary, not feed people, but the industry, the structure, in order to upgrade. Because if I understand correctly, the Soviets and then the Russians did not leave Ukraine a whole country of prosperity. It was very much catch as catch can. Is that correct?
Well, there's a lot of Soviet era industry in Ukraine. A lot of it has been knocked out by Russian missiles at this stage, particularly the electrical system. So just as one example, you know, the Soviet electrical system was okay. Right. It now needs to be replaced.
Matt Steinglass, European correspondent for The Economist magazine, introducing the talk of Marshall Plan and what it means for Ukraine after the fighting. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.